I love to cook. And during my recent vacation, I had time to watch a cooking show called Chopped. I'm sure you can imagine with a name like that what the show is about. There are four contestants competing to win some $10,000 for preparing the most inspired meal. There are three different opportunities for the cooks to prepare a winning dish. Each participant gets chopped until the judges choose between the final two cooks. Maybe you've never seen the show, and probably most of you wouldn't spend your time on vacation watching a cooking show, but I loved it. It begins with four cooks who get a basket of unknown items, and they have 20 minutes to open the basket, take a look at the items, and create an inspired meal. Three judges sit directly across from the preparation area, watching the cooks do their magic. An announcer gives the directions to the contestant that goes something like this: "Good morning, and welcome to Chopped. You are here to see who will create something delicious out of the time given to you and the basket of items in front of you." Most of the ingredients in the baskets were common items like chicken and onions, strawberries and potatoes. And then they would throw in something like sea urchins, parsnips, or shiitake mushrooms. In 20 minutes, the food critics would judge which meal was the most flavorful and inspired. It was amazing to watch the chefs look at the items in the basket and immediately start a dish without a recipe. The judges would take one bite to determine which concoction prepared would be voted the most inspired meal. All they had were five loaves and two fish for some 5,000 people. As the passage begins today, Jesus withdrew from Galilee in a boat to a deserted place to grieve. The news of Herod's beheading of John the Baptist, Jesus' boyhood friend, had to have been heartbreaking for him. But the crowds followed Jesus and would not leave him alone. People who came in contact with Jesus were constantly being healed and fed. According to Matthew's gospel, when Jesus saw the crowds that day, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. The historical Jesus was a compassionate person who responded to people in need. The whole event of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was God's response to humanity's deepest needs. Evening was approaching, and the disciples came to Jesus asking him to send the people away for supper. But Jesus responds, "You give them something to eat." How would this be possible? Some 5,000 men, plus women and children, fed with five loaves and two fish. This is the only miracle story that is told in all four Gospels, which suggests that it is of unusual importance. From the beginning, we wonder how it could be possible to feed the multitudes on so little. Is it really a true story? We know the Bible is full of metaphors and allegories, so maybe this loaf and fish story is too. Various proposals have been made to explain the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. First, a miraculous event of feeding hungry people actually happened in the life of Jesus. This view is advocated not only by conservative and fundamentalist students who attempt to take everything in the Bible as literal history, but also by such scholars as Rudolf Otto, who regarded Jesus as a charismatic figure from whose presence sick people were healed and hungry people went away filled. Or maybe it was the rationalistic explanation of H.E.G. Paulus, who argued that what really happened was a lesson in unselfishness. As as Jesus and his disciples shared the little food that they had, it shamed others into sharing their food so that there was enough for all. Another suggestion is that the meal was symbolic and spiritual and not physical, but spiritual hunger was satisfied when each person received a minuscule fragment of the shared food. It was a symbolic presentation of the meaning of the Christ event with overtones of the Eucharist, the picture of fellowship and plenty for all. If Jesus is the Messiah, and I believe that he is, there's no question that he performed miracles on a regular basis. When Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, some might say that this was indeed an inspired meal. What he was originally given seemed insignificant, but in his hands, it became more than enough. Jesus accepts responsibility to supply the needs of those who follow him. His blessing, breaking, and distributing of the bread provided a link to the mystery of the Eucharistic meal. God is so generous in lavishing his love on us, providing for all of our physical and spiritual needs. And Jesus Christ is the bread of heaven on whom we feed today in the Eucharist. But this isn't the end. Historically, God has always worked with people and through people to get things done in the world. Remember, it was with the food the disciples brought to Jesus that he fed the multitudes. And he didn't feed them, really. It was the disciples who did it. It was from their hands that the people received the food that day. It is the way of God to use humans to accomplish his purposes. Perhaps he could bypass the humans and get the work done without preparation, but he rarely does it, if ever. A story has been told concerning a country preacher who came upon a member of his parish working in his newly made garden alongside the road. With an air of great piousness, the preacher said, "Brother William, you ought to be very grateful to God for all the beautiful tomatoes and potatoes and beans that the Lord will give you in your garden this year." Glancing up and down along the neat rows of planted vegetables, Brother William slowly replied, "Yes, Parson, I suppose so. But you know, you really should have seen this patch of ground last year when the Lord had it all by himself." Jesus inspired the disciples to take what they had and to give the people something to eat. Inspire means to fill with courage or strength of purpose. Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to an end, and he needed his disciples to embrace humanity's greatest needs. Jesus needed the disciples to feed the multitudes. He empowered them to act. And Jesus was asking the disciples to step out in ordinary life using the loaf and fish, this inspired meal God had given them for the benefit of the world. I stand here preaching to you and to me these words of inspired meal. We are a congregation of well-fed or maybe a bit overfed, whose main experience of the food supply is in keeping to a diet. We are good people who will donate canned goods for the food pantry and make donations to the Heifer Project, the Star of Hope, or the Open Door Mission. But I believe it is hard for us to comprehend what it's really like to be physically hungry. Only then could we understand the potential panic of the crowd driven by hunger, or feel the disciples' reluctance and frustration at the problem. Imagine preaching the feeding of the 5,000 to a congregation in Ireland during the potato famine in the 1840s, or perhaps in the United States during the Depression, or even today for people who are hungry here. What does this gospel say to a congregation wasting away to the Ebola epidemic, knowing that many will die before the next sermon is preached? Imagine you're a missionary sent to a refuge camp on the Sudan-Kenyan border. Your Bible study group is made up of people who have fled the genocidal war in Sudan, barely subsisting on UN food rations. What originally seemed insignificant in Jesus' hands was more than enough. And we often feel that our contribution to Jesus is meager. But he can take what we give and use it and multiply it. Jesus is able to supply men's needs in abundance. And he trains his disciples and you and me to have self-confidence, to show initiative, and to be leaders showing concern for people's welfare. Steve Jobs of the computer industry was trying to lure the head of Coca-Cola away from his high-paying job to come and work in the computer industry. The man was reluctant until Jobs said urgently, "Do you want to spend the rest of your life making fizzy sugar water, or do you want to have an opportunity to change the world?" A number of years ago, a young Matthew Lesage, a third grader, wanted something to do to help the hungry in his city. He started a program, Hams for the Hungry. In its fourth year, Hams for the Hungry raised some $40,000 to brighten the holiday season for people with limited resources. The gospel lesson today is that however limited our resources may be or seem to us, they will prove adequate if it is the Lord who directs our use of those resources. The least of what we have to give, once we take it to Christ, becomes sufficient. And with God, the sources of supply are unlimited. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "To provide the hungry with bread is to prepare the way for the coming of grace." There are no judges hanging around over us to chop our attempts to provide for the world. No one will vote which one of us is the most inspired today. Jesus is looking for which one of us is willing to take what we have, to bring it to him, and allow him to inspire us. You give them something to eat. What we give may seem insufficient, but in the hands of God, it's more than enough. Amen.